الجامعة الافتراضية السورية، كتاب كريمينال لو، القانون الجزائي، باي عماد الدين محمد. الوحدة التعليمية الخامسة، Chapter 5، يغطي هذا التسجيل الشرائح كاملة من 1 حتى 36، From 1 to 36. تقدمت مبادرة ضوء بصوت دانا بيرقدار. Slide 1 Chapter 5 Theft. Slide 2 Learning Objectives. By the end of this chapter, you should be able to 1. Define the offense of theft. 2. Identify and explain the elements of theft using statute and case law. 3. Understand the relationship between actus reus and mens rea of the offense. And 4. Apply the law relating to these elements to a problem scenario. Slide 3. Introduction. Theft is one of many offenses against property. The law relating to theft is governed by the Theft Act 1968. Theft is an offense which is triable either way and carries a maximum sentence of 7 years imprisonment upon conviction in the Crown Court. Slide 4. Definition of theft. A person is guilty of theft if he dishonestly appropriates property belonging to another with the intention of permanently depriving the other of it. Section 1.1 Theft Act 1968. There are 5 elements of the offense of theft. There are 3 actus reus elements. A. Appropriation. B. Property. And C. Belonging to another. There are 2 mens rea of elements. A. Dishonesty. B. Intention to permanently deprive. Each element will be examined independently, but the prosecution must prove all 5 elements for a conviction of theft to be successful. If one of the elements is missing, any prosecution for theft will fail. Slide 5. Actus reus of theft, appropriation. The 3 actus reus elements of theft which must be proved by the prosecution are very widely defined. What constitutes appropriation has been increased over the years. Appropriation. This is the first actus reus element of theft and the prosecution must prove that the defendant appropriated the property. Any assumption by a person of the rights of an owner amounts to an appropriation, and this includes where he has come by the property, innocently or not, without stealing it, any later assumption of a right to it by keeping or dealing with its owner. Section 3.1 Theft Act 1968. Appropriation involves assuming the rights of the owner of the property. In other words, doing something with the property that the owner has the right to do. It includes acts such as taking possession of, using, selling, lending, giving away, and destroying the property, as well as omissions such as failing to return or keeping the property. In order to be guilty of theft, the defendant does not need to appropriate the property with a view to gain or benefit from it. So a person who takes money from a company to donate to a charity has still appropriated the property even if he will not gain or benefit from it. Slide 6. Actus reus of theft, appropriation. A later appropriation. A later appropriation occurs where a person initially comes by property without stealing it, but he later does something or omits to do something with the property by which he assumes the rights of the owner over that property. This could include keeping the owner's property which he initially borrowed innocently. If the other 4 elements of theft are present at the moment of the later appropriation, the offense of theft will be complete. Slide 7. Actus reus of theft, appropriation. 1. Any single right. The defendant does not need to assume all of the rights of the owner over the property. The element of appropriation will be satisfied if the defendant assumes any single right of the owner over the property. 2. Appropriation and consent. The courts have been troubled by the question of whether or not the assumption of the owner's rights must be unauthorized in order to amount to an appropriation. Slide 8. Thinking point. للإطلاع. Consider whether D appropriates property in the following situations. 1. D removes a loaf of bread from a supermarket shelf. 2. D borrows X's pen, planning to return it. 3. D throws a brick at X's window, breaking the glass. 4. D keeps £20 given to him by his mother for his birthday. 5. D sells X television to Y. Slide 9. Actus reus of theft, appropriation, للإطلاع. In establishing the elements of theft, appropriation must be examined independently from the mens rea elements of dishonesty and intention. Appropriation is very widely construed. Anyone doing anything whatever to property belonging to another, with or without the authority or consent of the owner, appropriates it. This is a quotation by Ormerod and Williams, 2007-20. This means that even an act such as taking goods from a supermarket shelf, which is impliedly consented to by the supermarket, amounts to an appropriation. When you go shopping in your supermarket, you automatically have the actus reus of theft. You are appropriating property belonging to another. If you formed the dishonest intention to permanently deprive the owner of the property at the time that you picked it up, you would be guilty of theft. However, you are unlikely to be caught without doing more. The actus reus is very wide. A defendant's liability for theft will depend upon whether or not the prosecution can prove that the defendant had the requisite mens rea. This elevates the importance of ensuring clear and precise definitions of the mens rea elements. Slide 10. Actus reus of theft, appropriation, للإطلاع. 1. Inter vivos gifts. The leading case on this is Hinks 2000. 2. A physical act. The authority for this is Briggs 2003. The principle that appropriation connotes a physical act. The defendant caused the proceeds of her elderly relative's house sale to be transferred into her bank account by deceiving them. Her conviction of theft was quashed by the Court of Appeal, who held that appropriation requires a physical act rather than a remote act triggering the payment. 3. Bona fide purchasers. Where a person purchases property in good faith, but it later transpires that ownership of the property did not pass to the purchaser. For example, if it was stolen property, the purchaser will not have appropriated the property. If the purchaser does something with the property assuming the right of the owner, which he believed he was, over the property, there will be no appropriation. A bona fide purchaser in good faith cannot be guilty of theft. Slide 11. Actus reus of theft, appropriation, للإطلاع. Appropriation as a continuing act. Appropriation may occur in an instant, and if there are other four elements of theft are present at that instant, the defendant will be guilty of theft. The leading authority to suggest that appropriation is a continuing act is Attack Poll 1994 QB 69, where the Court of Appeal stated obiter that theft can also involve a course of dealing with property lasting longer and involving several appropriations before the transaction is complete. It is for the jury to decide when the appropriation is complete, and an appropriation may last for as long as the thief is regarded as being on the job. Slide 12. Actus reus of theft, property. 1. The prosecution must also prove that the defendant appropriated property. In other words, something capable of being stolen under the Theft Act 1968. 2. Definition of property. Property includes money and all other property, real or personal, including all things in action and other intangible property. Section 4.1 Theft Act. The definition is very wide and covers land and tangible property, also money, coins, and banknotes, including foreign currency. Real property means freehold land, with some exceptions, and personal property means leasehold land and chattels, laptops, iPods, wallets, or cars. Intangible property, property which has no physical existence, is also included. A thing in action or a chose in action is an example of intangible property. It has no physical existence, but it does entitle the owner to bring an action in law. Examples are a share in a company, a debt, a copyright, a trademark, a credit in a bank account, and an agreed overdraft. Other intangible property also covers patents, which are not classified as a thing in action, and export quotas. See the case of Attorney General of Hong Kong v. Ne Kayong 1987 1 WLR 1139. Slide 13. Actus Reus of Theft, Property. As the definition of property is so wide, it is easier to examine what is excluded from the definition. There are exceptions to the definition of property under both the statute and case law. The case law exceptions include confidential information, electricity, corpses, and body parts and services. Confidential information. This is not property and cannot be subject to a charge of theft if dishonestly appropriated. This means that trade secrets are not property for the purposes of the offense of theft. See the very interesting case of Oxford v. Moss, 1979, Crim L.R. 119, an undergraduate student at Liverpool University who obtained a copy of his examination paper and wrote the questions down, but then returned the examination paper. Slide 14. Thinking point. للإطلاع. Do you think that the charge of theft against the student could have been successfully prosecuted on another basis? Would the elements of theft have been satisfied if the student had photocopied the examination paper and kept the copies? Would it make a difference if he had paid for the photocopying from his university account? It has been suggested that the student might have been convicted of theft if he had been charged with theft of the physical piece of paper. It is argued that the mens rea element of intention to permanently deprive might be satisfied because the examination paper had lost all of its goodness and virtue when he returned it. Slide 15. Actus Reus of Theft, Property, للإطلاع. Electricity. Gas and water are property and may be stolen, but electricity is not property and cannot be stolen. Where a person dishonestly uses electricity, which another person is paying for, like someone charging up a mobile phone, iPod, or laptop, they will not be guilty of theft. Such an act may be covered by a separate offense of abstracting electricity. Section 13 of the Theft Act 1968. Corpses and body parts. The principle of a corpse and body parts not being property was confirmed in the case of Kelly and Lindsay, 1999, QB 621, subject to the exception of a corpse or body parts which had acquired different attributes through preservation for purposes of medical or scientific examination, including educational purposes. Slide 16. Actus Reus of Theft, Property, للإطلاع. Services. Examples. A bus ride, a driving lesson, and a private tuition are not property and cannot be stolen. If a person dishonestly travels on a bus without buying a bus ticket, he has not appropriated any property and cannot be guilty of theft. He could be guilty of obtaining services dishonestly under Section 11 of the Fraud Act 2006. Things in action. A thing in action is a right which can be enforced by legal action and as property may be the subject of a charge of theft. If the thing in action belongs to another and is dishonestly appropriated with the intention to permanently deprive the other of it, the offense of theft will be made. Slide 17. Actus reus of theft, property, للاطلاع. Checks and bank accounts. Where a person pays cash into his bank account, the money becomes the money of the banker and the relationship between the banker and customer is that of debtor and creditor. Assuming that a person's bank account is in credit by £50, he has a right to sue the bank for the sum of £50 if the bank refuses to give it to him. This right is the thing in action which amounts to property for the purposes of the Theft Act 1968 and is capable of being stolen. Slide 18. Actus reus of theft, property, للاطلاع. Statutory exceptions, land, animals, and plants. Land. Land is property, but there are limitations as to when land can be stolen. A person cannot steal land or things forming part of land and severed from it by him or by his directions unless one of the situations in section 4.2a-c exists. Wild plants. A defendant is not guilty of theft if he picks wild mushrooms or flowers or fruit or foliage from a plant growing wild. He is guilty of theft if he picks them to sell them or if he completely uproots a whole plant, except a mushroom, section 4.3. Wild animals. Tamed animals, such as dogs or cats or animals kept in captivity, such as a zoo, are property and can be stolen. Untamed animals, which are not kept as pets or in zoos, cannot be stolen, unless the animal has been or is in the course of being reduced into the possession of a person. Section 4.4. Slide 19. Actus reus of theft belonging to another. The final actus reus element, which must be proved by the prosecution, is that at the time of appropriation, the property belonged to another. It is not necessary to prove who the property belonged to, but it must be proved it belongs to another person. Can you steal your own property? It is not possible to steal your own property except if somebody else has possession or control of it or appropriatory right or interest in it at the moment of appropriation. Slide 20. Actus reus of theft belonging to another, للاطلاع. Abandoned property. If property has been abandoned, it belongs to no one and cannot be stolen. The question is, when is a property abandoned? Property is only abandoned if the owner is completely indifferent as to what happens to it and intends to give up his proprietary rights and interests in the property without conferring an interest on another person. When property is no longer wanted by the owner and left out as rubbish for the local authority to collect, it is not abandoned and does belong to another. If it is left outside for a purpose to be collected by the rubbish collector, it remains the property of the householder until it is collected and it then becomes the property of the refuse collectors. Refuse belongs to somebody at all times and is not abandoned. Slide 21. Actus reus of theft belonging to another, للاطلاع. Lost property. Property which is lost is not abandoned, even if the owner stops looking for it. For example, a passenger found a gold bracelet in the British Airways executive lounge. It was held that the passenger, in taking the bracelet into his care and control, acquired rights of possession except against the true owner. British Airways could only displace the passengers' rights if they could show, as occupiers, an obvious intention to exercise control over the lounge and things in it, for example, by placing notices to this effect in the lounge. Civil case of Parker v. British Airways, 1982, QB 1004. Slide 22. Actus reus of theft belonging to another, lil-ittila, property of the deceased. Where property is stolen from a corpse, it is difficult to prove that the property belonged to another. The prosecution must prove that the property belonged to someone who was alive. Equitable interest. Property may belong to a person who has an equitable interest in the property. Where property is the subject of a trust, the trustee holds a legal interest over the property and the beneficiary holds an equitable interest. The property belongs to both the trustee and the beneficiary for the purposes of theft. The property can be stolen from both. An exception is when property will not belong to a person who has an equitable interest in the property, which arose only from an agreement to transfer or grant an interest. Slide 23. Actus reus of theft belonging to another, lil-ittila, property held on trust. Property which is subject to a trust belongs to the beneficiaries of the trust for the purposes of theft. A trustee may be guilty of stealing the trust property from the beneficiaries. Where property is subject to a trust, the persons to whom it belongs shall be regarded as including any person having a right to enforce the trust, and an intention to defeat the trust shall be regarded accordingly as an intention to deprive of the property any person having that right. Property received for a particular purpose. Where title to the property passes to the defendant before the dishonest appropriation of the property does not belong to another, and there can be no conviction for theft. There are two situations where the property is deemed to belong to another. Slide 24. Actus reus of theft belonging to another, lil-ittila, property obtained by mistake. If a person obtains property by mistake, examples include overpayments of wages or in a shop, if there is an obligation on the defendant to restore the money, then despite title in property passing to the defendant, it is deemed to belong to another for the purposes of the Theft Act 1968. Where property is transferred to another person by a mistake of fact, the transferor retains an equitable interest in the property. There must be a legal obligation to restore the money under civil law. Slide 25. Mens rea of theft. There are two mens rea elements of theft, and both have to be proved by prosecution if the offense of theft is to be secured. The mens rea elements are dishonesty and an intention to permanently deprive the other person of the property. As the actus reus elements of theft are widely defined, a defendant's liability for the offense will largely depend upon proof of these mens rea elements. So, it is important that dishonesty and intention to permanently deprive are clearly and precisely defined by law. Slide 26. Mens rea of theft, dishonesty. Dishonesty is the first mens rea element. The prosecution will need to prove to a jury beyond reasonable doubt that the defendant was dishonest at the time of appropriation. The element of dishonesty has increased in importance in theft as the scope of actus reus of the offense, in particular appropriation, has widened. Dishonesty is now the most important element, and the vast majority of prosecutions for theft will depend upon its proof. The leading authority on dishonesty is Gosch, 1982, QB 1053, which provides a positive test. In deciding whether or not a defendant is dishonest, the court has to consider the negative aspect of dishonesty under Section 2, 1 of the Theft Act 1968. Slide 27, mens rea of theft, dishonesty, negative aspect. Situations in which a defendant will not be dishonest. A person's appropriation of property belonging to another is not to be regarded as dishonest. 1. If he appropriates the property in the belief that he has in law the right to deprive the other of it on behalf of himself or of a third person. Or 2. If he appropriates the property in the belief that he would have the other's consent if the other knew of the appropriation and the circumstances of it. Or 3. Except where the property came to him as trustee or personal representative, if he appropriates the property in the belief that the person to whom the property belongs cannot be discovered by taking reasonable steps. Slide 28, mens rea of theft, dishonesty. Positive aspect, the gosh test. If none of the above situations apply, the jury will need to consider whether the defendant was dishonest. As dishonesty is an ordinary word, the jury will not usually be directed in relation to its meaning. Where further direction is required, the trial judge should direct the jury in accordance with the case of Gosch. The Gosch test is part objective and part subjective. In the Gosch test, the jury must consider 1. Whether what the defendant did was dishonest according to the ordinary standard of reasonable and honest people, the objective limb. 2. If so, whether the defendant realized that reasonable and honest people would regard it as dishonest, the subjective limb. Slide 29. Mens rea of theft, dishonesty, willingness to pay. Demonstrating a willingness to pay for the property appropriated does not automatically render the defendant honest. He may still be dishonest. The fact that the defendant has paid for the water by leaving the money for it on the counter does not automatically render her honest. She may still be convicted for theft if the prosecution can prove that she was dishonest. She might argue that she had an honest belief that the owner of the property would have consented, but whether she did have such a belief and whether the jury would believe her are another matter. If Section 2 1 does not apply, then the jury would need to apply the Gosch test. Slide 30, mens rea of theft, intention to permanently deprive. The final mens rea element is an intention to permanently deprive the other of the property. It does not need to be proved that the defendant actually permanently deprived the owner of the property. The prosecution must prove that he had the intention to do so at the moment of appropriation. There are statutory exceptions to the general rule that borrowing does not amount to the theft. The important question is whether the defendant treated the property as his own to dispose of, regardless of the other's rights. Slide 31. Mens rea of theft, intention to permanently deprive, للاطلاع. Intention to treat the thing as his own to dispose of, regardless of the other's rights. Where a defendant shows an intention to treat the property as his own to dispose of, regardless of the other's rights, he will be regarded as having an intention to permanently deprive the other of the property. Borrowing or lending property. Borrowing property belonging to another is generally not sufficient to constitute theft. However, borrowing or lending may amount to theft if it is for a period and in circumstances making it the same as an outright taking or disposal. Example, if you borrow a spoonful of your friend's coffee, intending to buy them a new jar, you have the intention to permanently deprive your friend of it. The fact that you intended to replace the coffee you used is not relevant, unless you are going to return the very granules you took. Slide 32. Mens rea of theft, intention to permanently deprive, للاطلاع, borrowing money. The act of borrowing money, notes or coins, which is then spent, will usually satisfy the requirement of an intention to permanently deprive. This is true even where the borrower intends to replace the money borrowed with money of an equivalent value. See the case of Villamil, 1989, Crim LR 299. Defendant borrowed money from his employer's safe, intending to return money to the same value. This was held to amount to an intention to permanently deprive, as the defendant intended to replace the money taken with different notes. If exactly the same notes and coins that were taken are returned, then there will be no intention to permanently deprive. This is unlikely to occur where money is borrowed. Parting with property under a condition as to its return. Where a person pawns property which belongs to another person without the other's consent, and he is unable to buy back the property, then he will be deemed to be treating the property as his own to dispose of, regardless of the other's rights. Section 6.2 of the Theft Act 1968. Slide 33. Mens rea of theft. Intention to permanently deprive, lil-ittila. Conditional intention. If a person intends to permanently deprive the owner of property only if a certain condition is met, he has no intention to permanently deprive. Example: a defendant was charged with theft of a handbag, and the items in the handbag, which he picked up from the floor in a cinema to see if anything in it was worth stealing. The handbag was attached to a piece of string to the hand of the victim, who was a police officer. The defendant's conviction for theft was quashed in the court of appeal because the defendant had no intention to permanently deprive, and a conditional intention to steal something worth stealing was not sufficient. Esom 1971, 2QB 315. What may be loosely described as a conditional appropriation will not do if the appropriator has it in mind merely to deprive the owner of such of his property as on examination proves worth taking, and then, finding that the booty is valueless to the appropriation, leaves it ready to hand to be repossessed by the owner. The appropriator has not stolen. Edmund Davis, L.J. in Isam. Slide 34. Summary. Lil-ittila. 1. There are 5 elements of theft. 2. The actus reus is the appropriation of property belonging to another. The mens rea is dishonesty and intention to permanently deprive. 3. Appropriation requires any assumption of any single right of the owner. 4. Property can be appropriated even if the assumption of the right of the owner occurs with the consent or authorization of the owner. 5. Property is partially defined under Section 4 of the Theft Act 1968. It includes money and tangible property, as well as intangible property and things in action. 6. Belonging to another is not solely concerned with ownership. Property also belongs to a person in possession or control of it, or someone who has a proprietary right or interest in the property. 7. A partial negative definition of dishonesty is given in Section 2.1 of the Theft Act 1968, which is based on the honest belief of the defendant, a subjective test. A defendant who holds an honest belief that he has a right in law to the property, an honest belief that the owner would have consented had he known of the circumstances, or an honest belief that the owner could not be found if reasonable steps were taken to find him. Slide 35. Summary. Lil-ittila. 1. The positive test of dishonesty is Gosh 1982 test. This is a two-limb test, which is part objective and part subjective. The first limb asks whether the honest and reasonable person would regard what the defendant did as dishonest, objective limb. If the answer is yes, it must be questioned whether the defendant realized that his conduct would be judged dishonestly according to such standards, This is the subjective limb. 2. Intention to permanently deprive is given its ordinary meaning. An intention to borrow does not amount to theft unless Section 6(1) of the Theft Act 1968 is satisfied. There must be an intention to treat the thing as your own to dispose of, regardless of the other's rights. 3. A borrowing may be sufficient for theft if it is for a period and in circumstances making it equivalent to an outright taking or disposal. It must be returned in a changed state such that it can truly be said that all of its goodness or virtue has gone. Slide 36. Questions. Lil-ittila. 1. Identify the actus reus and mens rea elements of theft. 2. How is appropriation defined under the Theft Act 1968, under which section? 3. Does an authorized taking of property amount to appropriation? Refer to case law in your answer. 4. Explain the effect of the decision in Hinks on the law of theft. 5. How is property defined and under which section of the Theft Act 1968? 6. What is a thing in action? 7. Explain how SS.5, بين قوسين 3, and 5, بين قوسين 4, operate within the law of theft. 8. What is the negative aspect of dishonesty? 9. What are the two limbs of the Gosch test? And 10. When does an intention to temporarily deprive the owner of property amount to theft? Explain with reference to case law. نهاية chapter 5.